how are you feeling? And she she was elated. Like, she could not stop. You could hear her smiling through the phone. Yeah, man. What a fucking week.
So she's excited that her former husband is going to prison forever.
Exactly. Yes. And
oh, that's your friend?
Yeah. Yeah. Stuart's husband. Art Stuart's husband. I don't know. Maybe he does have one. But no judgment here. You know? Well, he definitely, if he doesn't have a husband now, he will.
No offense. That's funny. No offense, but I was wondering why you were so interested in like having Ty's friend who has an opinion on this case. Ty's friend is really happy about it. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay.
Well, that's because I don't care. She was married.
Carol was like, aren't we all?
Yeah, I mean, not that I would like care if we have friends on the show, but like, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, this one's got a particular vested interest in seeing Stuart Rose go to jail.
Makes sense.
Because she lived with him. Is she the one who told you that he didn't shower and that's how his eye got infected because he didn't clean it?
He's a dirty bastard. Jesus.
Well, yeah, when you say dirty bastard, you mean like literally dirty.
Yeah. Actually dirty.
Gross.
Not a euphemism, an actual fact.
Wait, did she like make him shower before they banged or whatever? I don't actually want to know that personal information. I'm sorry I even brought it up. Don't even.
I'm so glad because someone was saying earlier that they didn't think that they thought that the jury was going to let him skate. You know,
they did not.
And I mean, I think that's a good sign because he's probably one of the most high profile people involved in J6 that
also known has as been a piece convicted. Of shit.
I mean, other people have that had central roles in the fuckery, didn't know who they were. You know what I mean? Like, Stuart Rhodes, that's a huge name, and his, you know, proximity and association with Roger Stone and
all the white, their right role wing Republicans.
J6 at the Capitol, like, is huge. So I think it's a big deal. It's a BFD.
It's big a huge fucking deal.
Yeah.
All right, let's save it for the podcast. We'll do this for real.
you always end up including it anyway, so we'll just hear this later.
Right, I'll put it in the intro. All right. Ty, did you happen to get a load of the notes Carol dropped in the chat?
I think I saw them, and then I saw how long it was, and then I just didn't read it.
You don't have to.
It was
It's not like a pre-reading. It was like if you want to take a reading.
Yeah,
if you want to read it out loud.
I was thinking we could take the sections and take turns. You know.
Okay, hold on. Let me.
I didn't read them in advance last time. Could you tell?
Yeah, you just open it up, you read it, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? Because you were like, wait, he said, if the video doesn't fit, you must have quit. Is that serious?
Yeah, something like that. And
is that for real? Yeah.
It was good. Oh my God. I thought I was like so small. I was like, I was doing such a good job sight reading. And like, I sound so eloquent. And then like, I listened to it and I'm like, you can call the Department of Justice.
That's not what you sound like.
No, but it was like a little more drunk than I remembered. It sounded a little drunk.
Did it? Well, did you listen to Ty?
Oh my God. I was listening to the show. I sound lit as fuck.
Well, how high did you sound? Because I was like, well, I don't want it to be like embarrassing. I just wanted to be slightly unprofessional. I thought I fixed it up pretty good. So we're like, oh, we're just an unprofessional bunch. We're not total disasters here. I made it sound pretty good, I thought, all things considered.
No, you did a good job. You did a good job. It was, you know, like when you're trying to, like when you're a teenager and you went out with your friends and you got drunk and then your parents catch you and you're trying to sound sober.
Yep.
That's exactly
the universal experience.
Like, hey, look, we're not your parents. Ty, we're not going to spank you. You know, unless you ask nicely, I guess. That might be more Carol's thing. I don't really.
Spanking?
Yeah.
Well, only if I can get spanked with a donut.
Wait, I'm getting spanking. But that seems like a waste of a donut and not good at spanking. So let's just eat the donuts and then.
Just eat the donuts. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, this is D Knight.
This is Carol.
This is Ty.
And you're listening to the Bar the Interaction podcast, where a bunch of motherfuckers are about to go to prison for a long ass time. Thank you, Merrick Garland. You took care of business, you handled your shit. Lock these motherfuckers up. Lock them up. Lock them up. Lock them up. It's like I'm at a Trump rally, except we don't try and send Hillary to prison. We send the bad guys to prison, which I'm a fan of.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. It's been crazy.
I'm reading your notes, and I'm like, I missed half of this shit.
That's okay. We're gonna we'll get to it. You just hang tight.
I'm like, Epstein victims sued Deutsche Bank? When did that happen?
All right, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, speaking of all the fun things you might have missed out on, I'll run down the list of fun facts here. Tony Ornato, he testified to the January 6th committee yet again. Mike Lindell, Pillow Man, is set to challenge Ronna McDaniel for the RNC chair. That should go great. Kevin McCarthy. He doesn't seem to have the votes to become the Speaker of the House. Good luck.
You don't have the votes.
Good luck, fucker.
I'm sorry, that was my Hamilton input.
Yeah, you was jamming. Mitch McConnell spoke out against anti-Semitism and white supremacy, but voted against interracial marriage, even though he's in one. Kellyanne Conway also testified before the January 6th committee for 5 hours. I'm going to assume she didn't invoke her Fifth Amendment rights there.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. The Democrats finally, after all these years, got their hands on Trump's tax returns. His business is in the middle of a criminal trial. Perfect timing. Except it's not quite that perfect because they're going to lose control of the House soon. Republicans promised to use the House to investigate everything from Hunter Biden to Afghanistan to DOJ's treatment of the insurrectionist, even though they only campaigned on crime and inflation, which seems to no longer matter. All the crime has disappeared. Inflation has gone away. Gas prices are down. And they just pretend like none of that ever existed, even though that's what they campaigned on. Epstein's.
What about freedom? Are we going to get more freedom?
More freedom. Is this like Tim the Tool Man Taylor? And you're like, more freedom. Anyway, anyone who's watched Tool Time back in the day, you probably be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I think I heard of that show. That was Tim Allen's show, right?
Yeah, spoiler alert, he's a Trumper. Epstein's victims sue Deutsche Bank, Trump's most prominent lender over the last few decades, for helping to enable Epstein's massive child sex trafficking operation.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, bad news.
Deutsche Bank has such a stellar history with their corporate and social Nazis. I mean, initiatives.
Yes.
Yeah, not very highly ranked in the CSR department, right? Did I do it right, Carol? The corporate social responsible? Okay. And also, Elon Musk threatened to go to war with Apple if they yanked Twitter from the Apple store after he fired all his moderators, posted a bunch of unhinged pictures of his nightstand covered in guns and coke. Although it wasn't that kind of coke, which is even more weird.
It was like coke too.
It would have made... It would have made more sense if it was that kind of coke. Then we'd be like, oh, well, that explains everything.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. And then ring stains all over his...
Yeah, that was gross. And then he berated the CEO of Apple on his own platform. So that was ideal. Just wanted to get those fun facts out of the way.
Fuck that guy.
Get those fun facts out of the way before we get to the most juicy bits. If you were caught unawares, it's been quite a day. There was a seditious conspiracy trial that had been going on for the last 2 months that the media just completely ignored and didn't care about and didn't cover at all. In case you missed it, that concluded recently and the jury reached a verdict today. And guess what? The motherfuckers were guilty. Found guilty, yo.
Yay!
Found guilty. And we're going to dive into the details of that.
Founder of the far-right Oath Keepers group, Stuart Rhodes and co-defendant Kelly Meggs were convicted of seditious conspiracy and other charges related to the January 6th Capitol insurrection.
Dun, dun, dun.
The most serious charges that any defendants have faced in the wake of the attack.
About time.
Three other co-defendants, Kenneth Harrelson, Jessica Watkins, and Thomas Caldwell, were acquitted on the seditious conspiracy charge, but found guilty of other crimes related to the January 6th attack. Good news. All five were convicted of obstructing an official proceeding of Congress.
It's a tough Meggs word. I get caught up on that too.
Meggs and Watkins were also found guilty of conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, while the others were acquitted of that charge. The jury deliberated for just 3 days before delivering the verdict, and Rhodes and Meggs are facing a maximum of 20 years in prison. Merrick Garland, Bay, A.G. Bay.
A.G.
In case you're unawares out there, Ty has a thing for the space lasers. Continue, Ty. Carol, you're also a space laser. So A.G. Bay, watch out.
He praised the verdict, saying the Justice Department is committed to holding accountable those criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy on January 6, 2021.
That's right. You tell them, AG. You tell them. You fuck around, you find out.
Exactly. I think this is a good sign. I think that those who were probably hoping that they would skate are going to see this and realize, shit, Stuart got convicted. There's like, let's take a deal. You know?
Oh yeah, motherfuckers out there, oh shit, we're next.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I think,
bitch, if you listen to this, go ahead and cooperate. First one to get a deal gets the best deal.
Exactly.
And I read that Stuart Rhodes, what is it true, D, that Stuart Rhodes was not present in D.C. on January 6th, or he wasn't present at the Capitol? Okay,
so he was one of the individuals who was found guilty of the plot to conspire to commit sedition, but who didn't actually enter the Capitol. So those of you out there who also were involved in said conspiracy, just because you didn't enter the Capitol that day does not mean that you are off the hook.
Wanted to confirm before I stressed a similar point. Yeah. Apparently physical presence isn't going to be the determining factor as a threshold issue.
Absolutely.
As Dee already hinted, if you were involved and you weren't there, like, well, it couldn't have happened to a nicer person I'm talking about.
It could happen to a nicer insurrectionist. All right, Ty.
Prosecutors allege the defendants planned ahead of the Capitol attack to oppose the presidential transition in favor of unlawfully keeping Trump in office, seizing the joint Congress's certification of the Electoral College votes on January 6th as means to that end. They made the historic decision to oppose the peaceful transfer using any means necessary, attempting to upend centuries of lawful presidential transfers, government attorneys argued.
It's funny because you read it perfectly and then you were like, bleh.
Yeah.
Said it again.
You know what? I like the whole coup plot. Technology is the linchpin of what brought them all down. Like, they couldn't shut the fuck up. Like, if they were John Gotti, he would have been like, what the fuck? Send a goddamn email? The fuck are you talking on here? Like, you.
Well, to be fair, though, like, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, before TV ruined everyone's expectations of what evidence looked like, we didn't have to have this degree of damning evidence to get people, send people to prison. Like, if it seemed like it was pretty damn sure that they did it, like, they went to jail. Everyone thinks the shit is supposed to be like CSI Miami or something. And
I think that kind of plays into, or lends kind of credibility to the fact that they really thought they were going to get away with this.
Oh, yeah, they thought they was going to escape. Like,
they really thought they were going to get away with this because they were like, fuck it. Here's that email.
Yeah, they deleted a lot of shit, and they still left incriminating evidence. It was insane. So imagine how bad the shit they deleted was.
They even had burner phones, but yet everything wasn't on the burner phone. Like, they still...
They were sloppy.
You know, we're texting Mark Meadows, and on there's Telegram chats and everything else, and the emails. And it's so crazy, like, when I'm going through and reading the emails, and I'm like, this email is like a paragraph. Yeah. Like, dude, you couldn't pick up the phone and like say that shit or send it in a text or, you know, they're literally communicating back and forth like we did when email was first invented, you know, or
I wouldn't recommend a text either.
On their burner phones, on the phone. Girl.
I mean, or just don't crime at all. That's also an option. Like, you don't have to commit crimes. Like, no one forced you to try and overthrow the government. You just decided to do it on your own.
Right, well, you know, it was a thing. They got swept up in the moment. Yeah.
That's what happened.
Speaking of how little they got swept up in the moment
and planned all of this in advance, care after you.
Prosecutors presented evidence, including encrypted chat messages, recorded meetings, and social media posts at trial to support its argument that the defendants had made detailed plans to head to Washington, D.C. ahead of January 6th. Government lawyers alleged those plans included coordinating movements and even, quote unquote, executing traitors. This was not mere rhetoric. They argued it was dangerous action. Yeah, so
yeah, it's
we all
one thing
saw
to be
that
like,
happening in real time, except right. for their emails.
Well, it's one thing to be like, oh, yeah, look, we just talk big. Like, no, bitch, you actually showed up at the Capitol and tried to do this shit.
Yeah. Yes, and the QRFs. Like, they're trying to, like, say, oh, we were just there as, like, security, whatever. It's like, why'd you stash all those guns across the river? Down by the river. Isn't that like a, wasn't that like Chris Farley? But,
Wait, you not fat man in a little coat? Like, that's, I mean, anyway, yeah. Stuart Rhodes probably doesn't fit that description.
So, to give an answer to your question, Ty, the defendants all argued they were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, 2021 to provide security to high-profile pro-Trump attendees at various rallies and render first aid to protesters when needed. Oh, yeah, okay. That's what Kyle Rittenhouse was in town for.
Yeah, render first aid with a bunch of bullets, right? And here's your medicine. Open up.
Yeah, I don't want first aid from someone who's carrying.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't think. I don't think I'd want that either.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Evidence presented both before and during the trial revealed that the Oath Keepers did act as a security detail to Trump allied figures like Roger Stone and attended multiple pro-Trump rallies before the election.
Oh, yep, so Roger Stone should be worried.
He doesn't talk to me anymore. He doesn't answer my calls anymore.
I can't imagine why.
Roger.
Could it possibly be that you're involved
according
in doing...
According to Roger, I don't know who these Oath Keepers are you speak of. That's what he literally texted me about.
And maybe it was because he heard you were doing a podcast about the insurrection. And he was like, oh, maybe I should not be talking to this individual. It's probably not in my best interests.
Heard of, I don't know, I don't know of this organization.
Send them a picture of your boobs and see if we can get
that'll get them back on the line.
So are you saying I should sex Roger Stone?
Well, and I'll send him a picture of my dick, and of course he'll bring his wife. So that's a swinger joke, guys, if you were unawares. Roger
heard some rumors about him.
Yeah, Roger has a thing.
You know what? I have too. And you know what? That you bring that up, Carol. Those kind of weird, cringy texts between him and Alex Jones. Like, it was, they were a little sus for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make me not think they were banging, if that's what you mean.
Right. Exactly. Well, given what I know about Roger Stone and his proclivities, I am man enough to admit that I am probably not enough for his wife.
Look, anybody that has a Nixon tramp stamp is sus, okay?
Well, what I meant by that is that I'd have to bring 4 or 5 black friends.
In the months before the January 6th attack, prosecutors alleged Rhodes' rhetoric grew more desperate and violent, calling on Trump to invoke the act to enable an armed resistance against a rogue government.
Bad idea.
It will be 1776 all over again, Rhodes allegedly wrote in an Oath Keepers leadership message group. Force on force is the way to go. He was not accused of actually entering the Capitol on January 6th. Trump never invoked the act, and none of the defendants were accused of weapons crimes, which were two key defenses employed throughout the trial.
Yeah, those defenses did not work. They had weapons. They weren't necessarily armed with guns and whatnot, but they had those stashed, like you said, awaiting the call for Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act, and they would have had those guns ferried out to the Capitol to the force on the ground. So
look, I obviously do not like practice litigation or criminal law, and like my memory of criminal law and stuff is at least 10 years old from like studying for the bar exam. But I would think it was a bad strategy to be like, well, you can't charge me for that because you never charged me for a weapons crime. And then they'd be like, right. Oh, by the way, we're going to charge you with this weapons crime.
It's like, all right, exactly. Superseding indictment. Exactly. Here we come.
A superseding indictment.
It seems like a really bad defense. But when your other option is like, we weren't doing that, and like submit a clown video as evidence, and they'll be like, what? Seemed like that was.
Well, their other defense was like, you can't just read our actual words and like take them seriously.
Like, what? Pretty much what they.
This is fucking insane. Okay, the Secret Service. Two former members of the Oath Keepers who pled guilty to charges related to the attack told the jury that they were participants in the alleged conspiracy. Jason Dolan, a member of the Florida contingent, testified he was ready to, quote, take up arms and fight back against the rogue government. And Graydon Young, also from Florida. Man, bunch of Florida man going on here. Graydon Young said that he and three other of the other defendants who entered the Capitol saw themselves as participants in a Bastille-type movement, a momentous event in the history of an unfolding revolution. Oh, hey, man, Jesus. I don't think you should be describing your actions as Bastille-adjacent.
Right,
when you're walking into the United States Capitol, that's probably a dead giveaway that you're about to go to prison for a long ass time. Also, a third one-time member of the far right Oath Keepers group told the jury that he had been led to believe that Rhodes had the phone number belonging to a U.S. Secret Service agent, and that he and Rhodes had been in contact with that individual in the months before January 6th attack. John Zimmerman, a former member of the North Carolina chapter. Look, North Carolina, man, is that a thing or is that just
Florida? Yeah, well, specific? It is now.
It is now. Unfortunately. All right, North Carolina, man. and a former military veteran testified that Rhodes told him of the alleged connection with the agent during a September 2020 phone call between Rhodes and the individual who Zimmerman thought was a Secret Service agent ahead of a Trump rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina. The U.S. Secret Service said it is, quote, aware that individuals from the Oath Keepers had contacted them, but they were not aware of any allegations of criminal wrongdoing among their ranks connected to the Rhodes case. Of course you're not unaware.
Wait.
Secret Service.
Yeah, we talked
like, why would you come out and admit to these crimes? I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking to the Oath Keepers. Well, who the fuck is the Oath Keepers, assholes? Like, you're... Like, Jesus. The fucking Secret Service. Oh, dear.
It was like, yeah, we called them, but like, we didn't know they were criming. Like, how could we possibly have known that? It's not like we're the Secret Service or wait.
They said they were going to protect him. Like, what other risk could there be?
Yes. Because we're
it's like, can my fan club come over? Let me vet them. Like, you going to hurt him? No.
Oh, my God.
We're going to.
The Secret Service said, quote, it is not uncommon for various organizations to contact us concerning security restrictions and activities that are permissible in proximity to our protected site. The Secret Service statement said at the time of Zimmerman's testimony.
Oath Keepers' poor defense. Stanley Woodward, Kelly Meg's attorney, told the jury they did not condone what happened on January 6th. They only facilitated it, but disputed the government's interpretation of events. What happened to the Capitol building is abhorrent, but these defendants are not charged with causing the events on January 6th, Woodward argued.
It's funny he brings that up, because, like, if you think about it, who is responsible for what happened and responsible for causing the events of January 6th? They should probably be on trial, too.
Yeah. Watkins was one of three defendants who chose to take the stand. She testified that while she was just another idiot,
aren't we all
self-aware, inside the Capitol that day, change. Admitting to entering the building and interfering with law enforcement, interfering with some choice word, she was not part of a conspiracy to obstruct Congress's certification.
Well, bitch, why was you there?
Right? And just fighting cops.
What was you doing?
And fighting cops. Like, another defendant who decided to testify, 68-year-old Caldwell, dismissed incendiary communications prosecutors said he sent in the days surrounding the January 6th Capitol attack as goofy. Okay.
Yes. Them was jokey jokes.
We were just
jokey jokes.
We were just playing.
He was like the dude on Don't Be a Menace. And he was like,
while drinking your
take me to jail, lock me up, throw away the key. I ain't scared to fuck another man in that. Oh, wait.
Huh? Goofy. What the fuck?
There's like two people who've seen that movie who are listening to this podcast. But, like cracking the fuck up right now.
Don't be a menace for drinking your juice in the hood. I'm the second person. I'm also the only other person that has seen CB4. So.
No, I'm right there with you. I've seen it. Carol, that's probably not your particular cup of tea when it comes to movie consumption.
Just a black exploitation film, Carol.
CB4
with Chris.
Well, yeah, the movie I was quoting was called Don't Be a Menace to South Central
Society when drinking juice in the hood.
Something like that. It was a lot. Yeah, that was an instant classic. Anyway, Ty, after you.
Okay. Prosecutors confronted the military veteran with some of his most violent messages. Caldwell said, told jurors he played no role in the riot. Prosecutors confronted the military veteran with some of his most violent messages from the time, discussed topics like hunting Antifa, where their oath keepers had the ability to burn down Congress if they had wanted to, and executing some traitors, all of which Caldwell tried to explain away.
Good luck with that dumb shit.
Like Rhodes.
Like, it's right there, bro. We can read. We understand English. Like, I can see the words. They're there.
Oh, that was just goofy.
This reminds me of the Shaggy defense.
It wasn't me. I know you caught me on a camera. It wasn't me. Trying to kill Nancy Pelosi. It wasn't me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm done.
It wasn't me. Yes, I was the one erecting the gallows that you filmed. But you know what? I actually, like, the gallows, I was thinking, like, did they erect it there? Or did they bring it pre-erected? And if they were erecting it on site, fuck.
So it's all, like, all this talk of erecting things makes me think of the Herschel Walker campaign. We're just building a noose,
nothing to see here. Like, what the fuck?
Well, if it was erected there, then Herschel Walker had something to do with it, because he's pro-erection.
God, I want to talk about him. I'm so tired of him. So tired of him. Like Rhodes.
Well, it's a runoff, and it's erection, and if you know anything about Herschel Walker, then you know that I'm good at winning, running, and erections. All right, he could have actually said that. It's entirely possible.
I really thought that werewolf vampire video was like a dub on top of Herschel Walker to like act as a joke, like this is what you sound like.
No.
Yeah.
I watched it the day he said it and I was like, man, this is, and then I felt bad for saying horrible things about his mental capacity, because I was like, he might actually be brain damaged. So
I feel like he still understands that he's like taking money for like an evil cause.
Yeah, but he gets that part. Carol, did you know werewolves could kill vampires? Were you aware of that?
I mean, based on the, if I'm going by canon, the original What We Did in the Shadows movie, I know that the werewolves and the vampires had a rather contentious relationship. And also the other evidence I'll bring in is the Twilight series.
Yeah.
Oh, so, in conclusion, no, I did not know that.
I actually, like, now I like have an actual job writing, so I don't have time to do my like screenplays as much anymore. But I stan werewolves. And so I wanted to write a series about an aristocratic werewolf society, because werewolves are always like kind of put as like the slaves, basically. You know what I mean? Like the supremacy, like the vampires are the pinky up and, you know, werewolves are their servants. But it's called, one of them is called, it's called My Twin Sister's a Werewolf. And it's Vivian and Veronica Abbott, and they live in Alcott, Maine. And when their mom was pregnant, she was bitten by a werewolf, but one of the twins picked up the trait, you know, I guess you can say the trait. And she starts to come into her powers when she turns 18, and she has all of these, you know, all of these things that are like going on, like her improved hearing and, you know, what have you. And she wears this amulet that her mom gave her that she got from the indigenous, like the priestess of the indigenous on the reservation, that has wolfsbane that keeps her powers in check and keeps her from changing. And so it's like a series of, it's like Sweet Valley High meets Supernatural. So it's like different books, and each one is like these high school girls, and they're complete opposites. Viv and Ro, that's their, you know, their names. But one is like, you know, the werewolf girl is so like rock and roll and like badass. And the other has like glasses and like the hair pulled back ponytail, and they fight supernatural shit.
All righty.
They fight supernatural shit. And then like an offshoot of that is a guy that Viv met when he was like drawn to her because he knew that she was a wolf. But his family is aristocratic, like in Europe or whatever, Phelan. And there was the spinoff series of that is him and his family. Literally, it's like a five families kind of mob shit of werewolves. And it's pretty...
this feels racial.
Actually, he's...
you trying to make the werewolves sound like they Italians or something?
Right? No, they're not. Like, it's not... It's... There's no, like... Not nationality life with him. It's like kind of in like Transylvania times or whatever. So it's like kind of just being obscure with that. But I took a play on the Moors, which of course were from Africa, which they said, and Morea was one of the countries. And when Phelan was being married off, then they were trotting out potential wives. Sabine is the daughter of the king of Morea. So they have like a big ball or, you know, whatever. But he's stabbed in the back by his uncle who killed his father. So Dolphus and Reyna, they were the...
All right, now it's turned into the plot from Lion King.
I'm such a nerd.
Don't give us any spoilers.
I'm such a nerd, and I really want to get back to my screenwriting, because like I love this. I'm such a nerd. I love those.
I mean, it does sound like a wonderful movie. All right, kids, the moral from this story, yes, is vote for Raphael Warnock. He's bringing vampires and werewolves together. He's bringing them together.
All right, the prosecutors don't buy it.
I do want to watch that movie, though, if you ever get that screenplay sold. Anyway.
Taya's going to bring us both as her date at the red carpet.
Yes, definitely.
So,
well, I'm not a space laser, so I'm not sure if I'm her type.
Space. Prosecutors told the jury, the defendants who testified, quote, lied to your face with the explanations of their actions leading to up to January 6th and attempted to sterilize their conduct, a claim the jury agreed with. That's, wow, that's a very nice way to tell someone that they're full of shit.
yeah, it was very polite.
Yeah.
The defendants were, quote, leaders of a conspiracy to oppose the peaceful transfer of power, and the January 6th Capitol breach was a means to that end. January 6th was not the culmination of the Oath Keepers' alleged conspiracy, but a component of a larger plan to oppose Biden's presidency that did not end with the certification of the Electoral College votes. Yeah, so they're like, all we did was this, and it's because you fucking got stopped. Okay.
Yeah, when that failed, they had other plans that they were going to get around to eventually. But yeah,
eventually. It's next August for sure. Caldwell and Rhodes were accused of discussing future plans of rebellion with others. The jury agreed with the prosecutors. Yeah, they did. Who's playing the video?
That wasn't me. It wasn't me.
The Oath Keeper defendants are one of two groups accused of seditious conspiracy. The most serious charge so far alleged in the Justice Department's probe. Members of the Proud Boys, including leader Enrique Tarrio, will stand trial next month after being charged with that and other alleged crimes. Oh, so that'll be fun. I mean,
all right. Have either of you had a threesome before?
Had a what?
A threesome before, like, you know, one guy, two girl. So the favorite, my favorite part, this might be too graphic, is when you're like, oh, you got the one girl. This might be too graphic. You got the one girl bent over and she's like the other one. And then like you're behind that girl. And then you look up and you like lock eyes with the other girl. And it's like, you're next. That's the Proud Boys.
Okay. And I have not attributed or made an analogy between a threesome and seditious conspiracy. Well,
it's first of its kind. I'm breaking new ground here. No one's planted their flag on that until today, and I am the first.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about seditious conspiracy. You ever been with a girl, like, you hitting it from the back, and she locks eyes with that other girl? No,
well, the dude, like, because the other girl's eyes are, well, her face is busy.
Yeah, because you may not have seen it, the audience at home, but he was making some sloppy slurpy faces.
And then I reached under the bed and grabbed my QRS.
Okay, yeah, that was
sloppy slurpy faces.
No, look, I'm glad these motherfuckers are going to prison. It's about time we finally had some serious accountability for these fuckers. And I hope everyone who was involved with this looks at this as an example of what could happen to them. And it's probably best that the DOJ actually. So I remember when these charges were first filed and there were, you know, our favorite Twitter legal minds were in disagreement about whether DOJ should have even brought these charges or not because of just the high bar that it would take to come away with a guilty conviction. And it seems like it paid off. Like Garland wasn't sitting around all tepid about taking the fight to these people. He was like, I looked at the law. I looked at the actions. We brought the charges. We took them to trial and let the cards fall where they may. And I think everything worked out in his favor. And I would say that now that they've established the fact that the conspiracy exists and they've also successfully tried people according to seditious conspiracy, that this is probably a roadmap for them to file charges against other people and come away with more convictions in the future.
Sounds reasonable.
That makes sense. Sorry, I'm eating pozole.
Yeah, you are.
You worked up an appetite after this threesome, huh?